The prevenient act rounds to begin the day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act. I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother. I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love in the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it, as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone, and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath. And as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the Eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts. His conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my, yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, Heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiat of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and in each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and of Louisa. I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embrace, joys, and sorrows, and the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and prophets, of souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all anew, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall be always happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. heart of my greatest good Jesus. You will give me your flames, that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me, to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously, and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Teresa's beatification. O most holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Teresa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world so that we may also glorify your name, enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, in every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God, to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence, by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the Divine Will. And in this same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires except for those of my beloved Divine Will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen, fiat. It's Friday, so we'll pray the prayer to disarm divine justice. My good Jesus, I see that your enemies lift the heavy wood of the cross and let it drop into the hole they have prepared. And you, my sweet love, remain suspended between heaven and earth. In this solemn moment, you turn to the Father, and with weak and feeble voice, you say to him, Holy Father, here I am, loaded down with all the sins of the world. There is not one sin which does not pour upon me. Therefore, no longer unload the scourges of your divine justice upon man, but upon me, your Son. O Father, allow me to bind all souls to this cross, to plead forgiveness for them with the voices of my blood and of my wounds. O Father, do you not see how I have reduced myself by this cross, by virtue of these pains, concede true conversion, peace, forgiveness, and sanctity to all. Arrest your fury against poor humanity, against my children. They are blind and know not what they are doing. Look well at me, how I have reduced myself because of them. If you are not moved to compassion for them, may you at least be softened by this face of mine, dirtied with spit, covered with blood, bruised and swollen by the so many slaps and blows received. Have pity, my Father. I was the most beautiful of all, and now I am all disfigured, to the point that I no longer recognize myself. I have become the abject of all, and so, at any cost, I want to save the poor creature. My Jesus, how is it possible that you love us so much? Your love crushes my poor heart. Oh, I would want to go into the midst of all creatures to show this face of yours, so disfigured because of them, to move them to compassion for their own souls and for your love. And with the light which emanates from your face and with the enrapturing power of your love, make them understand who you are and who they are who dare to offend you, so that they may prostrate themselves before you to adore you and glorify you. My Jesus, adorable, crucified, the creature continues to irritate divine justice, and with her tongue, she makes resound the echo of horrible blasphemies, voices of curses and maledictions, and evil discourses. Ah, all these voices deafen the earth, and penetrating even into the heavens, while deafening the divine hearing, they curse and ask for revenge and justice against her. Oh, how divine justice feels pressed to hurl its scourges. Oh, how the many horrendous blasphemies ignite its fury against the creature.
But you, O my Jesus, loving us with highest love, face these deadly voices with your omnipotent and creative voice and cry out for mercy, graces, and love for the creature. In order to appease the indignation of the Father, all love, you say to him, my Father, look at me once again. Do not listen to the voices of the creatures, but to mine. I am the one who satisfies for all. Therefore, I pray you to look at the creature and to look at her in me. If you look at her outside of me, what will happen to her? She is weak, ignorant, capable only of doing evil, and full of miseries. Have pity, pity on the poor creature. I answer for her with my tongue, embittered by bile, parched by thirst, dried and burned by love. My embittered Jesus, my voice in yours, wants to face all these offenses, all the blasphemies, in order to change all human voices into voices of blessings and praises. My crucified Jesus, at so much love and pain of yours, the creature does not yet surrender. On the contrary, she despises you and adds sins to sins, committing enormous sacrileges, murders, suicides, duels, frauds, deceits, cruelties, and betrayals. All these evil works weigh on the arms of your celestial Father, so much so that, unable to sustain their weight, he is about to lower them and pour fury and destruction upon the earth. And you, O my Jesus, to snatch the creature from the divine fury, fearing to see her destroyed, you stretch out your arms to the Father. You disarm him and prevent divine justice from taking its course. And to move him to compassion for miserable humanity, and to soften him, you say to him with the most persuasive voice, my Father, look at these hands ripped open, and the nails that pierce them, which nail them together with all these evil works. Ah, in these hands I feel all the spasms that these evil works give to me. Are you not content, O my Father, with my pains? Am I perhaps not capable of satisfying you? Yes, these dislocated arms of mine will always be chains to hold the poor creatures tightly, so that they may not escape from me, except for those who wanted to struggle free by sheer force. These arms of mine will be loving chains that will bind you, my Father, to prevent you from destroying the poor creature. Even more, I will draw you closer and closer to her, that you may pour your graces and mercies upon her. My Jesus, your love is a sweet enchantment for me and pushes me to do what you do. So together with you, at the cost of any pain, I want to prevent divine justice from taking its course against poor humanity. With the blood that pours out of your hands, I want to extinguish the fire of sin that ignites it and to calm its fury.
Allow me to place in your arms the sufferings and the torments of all men, and the many hearts grieved and oppressed. Allow me to go among all creatures and press them all into your arms, so that all of them may return to your heart. By the power of your creative hands, allow me to stop the current of so many evil works and to hold everyone back from doing evil. My lovable crucified Jesus, the creature is not yet content in offending you. She wants to drink to the bottom all the filth of sin, and she runs almost wildly along the path of evil. She falls from sin to sin, disobeys all your laws, and denying you, rebels against you, and almost out of spite, she wants to go to hell. Oh, how indignant becomes the supreme majesty. And you, O my Jesus, triumphing in everything, even over the obstinacy of creatures, in order to appease the divine Father, show him all your most holy humanity, lacerated, dislocated, tortured in a horrible way. You show your most holy feet, pierced, twisted by the atrocity of the spasms, and I hear your voice, more moving than ever, as though in an act of breathing its last, wanting to conquer the creature by force of love and pain, and to triumph over the paternal heart. My Father, look at me, from head to foot. There is not one part of me which is left whole. I do not know where else to let them open more wounds and to procure more sufferings. If you do not placate yourself at this sight of love and suffering, who will ever be able to appease you? O creatures, if you do not surrender to so much love, what hope remains for you to convert? These wounds and blood of mine will be voices that constantly call from heaven to earth, graces of repentance, forgiveness, and compassion for you. My Jesus, crucified lover, I see that you can take no more. The terrible tension that you suffer on the cross, the continual creaking of your bones that dislocate more and more at every tiny movement, your flesh that rips more and more, the ardent thirst that consumes you, the interior pains that suffocate you with bitterness, pain, and love, and in the face of so many martyrdoms, the human ingratitude that insults you and penetrates like a mighty wave into your pierced heart, oppress you so much that your most holy humanity, unable to bear the weight of so many martyrdoms, is about to end. And raving with love and suffering, cries out for help and pity. Crucify Jesus. Is it possible that you, who rule everything and give life to all, ask for help? Ah, how I wish to penetrate into each drop of your most precious blood and to pour my own in order to soothe each one of your wounds, to lessen and render less painful the pricks of each thorn, and into every interior pain of your heart to relieve the intensity of your bitternesses.
I wish I could give you life for life. If it were possible, I would want to unnail you from the cross and put myself in your place. But I see that I am nothing and can do nothing. I am too insignificant. Therefore, give me yourself. I will take life in you, and in you I will give you yourself. In this way, you will satisfy my yearnings. tortured, Jesus. I see that your most holy humanity is ending, not because of you, but to fulfill our redemption in everything. You need divine aid, and so you throw yourself into the paternal arms and ask for help and assistance. Oh, how moved is the Divine Father in looking at the horrible torture of your most holy humanity, the terrible crafting that sin has made upon you, most holy members. And to satisfy your yearnings of love, he holds you to his paternal heart and gives you the necessary help to accomplish our redemption. And as he holds you tightly, you feel again in your heart, more intensely, the blows of the nails, the lashes of the scourgings, the tearing of the wounds, the pricking of the thorns. Oh, how the Father is struck, how indignant he becomes in seeing that all these pains are given to you up into your inmost heart, even by souls consecrated to you. And in his sorrow, he says to you, "Is it possible, my son, that not even the part chosen by you is wholly with you? On the contrary, it seems that these souls ask for refuge and a hiding place in your heart in order to embitter you and give you a more painful death. And even more, all these pains they give to you are hidden and covered by hypocrisy. Ah, son, I can no longer contain my indignation at the ingratitude of these souls, who grieve me more than all the other creatures together. But you, O my Father, triumphing of everything, defend also these souls, and with the immense love of your heart, form a shield to the waves of bitternesses and piercings that these souls give you. And to appease the Father, you say to him, "My Father, look at this heart of mine. May all these pains satisfy you, and the more bitter they are, the more powerful may they be over your heart of Father, to plead graces, light, and forgiveness for them. My Father, do not reject them. They will be my defenders, who will continue my life upon earth. My life, crucified Jesus, I see you are still agonizing on the cross, because your love is not yet satisfied in order to give completion to all. I too, yes, agonize together with you, and all of you, angels and saints, come to Mount Calvary to admire the excesses and the follies of the love of a God."
Let us kiss his bleeding wounds. Let us adore them. Let us sustain those lacerated limbs. Let us thank Jesus for the accomplished redemption. Let us turn our gaze to the pierced mother, who feels pains and deaths in her immaculate heart, for as many pains as she sees in her son God. Her own clothes are soaked with his blood. Mount Calvary is all covered with it. So all together, let us take this blood. Let us ask the sorrowful mother to unite herself to us. And let us divide ourselves throughout the whole world. And let us go to the help of all. Let us help those who are in danger, that they may not perish. Those who have fallen, that they may stand up again. Those who are about to fall, that they may not fall. Let us give this blood to the many poor blind, that the light of truth may shine in them. In a special way, let us go into the midst of the poor soldiers to be their vigilant sentries. And if they are about to be struck by the lead of the enemy, let us receive them into our arms to comfort them. And if they are abandoned by all, if they are desperate with their sad destiny, let us give them this blood, that they may be resigned and the atrocity of the pain lessened. And if we see that there are souls who are about to fall into hell, let us give them this divine blood, which contains the price of redemption. let us snatch them from Satan. And while I hold Jesus tightly to my heart in order to defend him and shelter him from everything, I will hold everyone to this heart so that all may obtain effective grace of conversion, strength, and salvation. Meanwhile, O Jesus, I see that your blood flows in torrents from your hands and from your feet. The angels, weeping, surrounding you like a crown, admire the portents of your immense love. I see your sweet mama, pierced by pain at the foot of the cross. Your dear Magdalene, beloved John, all taken by ecstasy of awe, love, and pain. O Jesus, I unite myself to you and I cling to your cross. I take all the drops of your blood and pour them into my heart. When I see your justice irritated against sinners, I will show you this blood in order to appease you. When I want the conversion of souls obstinate in sin, I will show you this blood, and by virtue of it, you will not reject my prayer, because I hold its pledge in my hands. And now, my crucified good, in the name of all generations, past, present, and future, together with your mama, with all the angels, I prostrate myself before you and say, we adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fiat, come divine will.
Amen. Could somebody give me a date where we're reading today?
June 26, 1926. Sorry, Donna.
June 26th? Okay, thanks. It's volume 19, right?
Yes, yes.
June 26, 1926. One who possesses the kingdom of the divine will operates in a universal way and will possess universal glory, universal requital to the sovereign queen. I was doing my usual acts in the supreme volition, according to my usual way, that is, embracing everything, creation, redemption, and everyone, to be able to give back to my Creator the return of love and of glory that everyone owes him. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, the little daughter of my will, must not only think about and occupy herself with defending the universal rights of her Creator, giving him the return of love and of glory that everyone owes him, as if all were one, in such a way that he may find everything in her. Because our will involves everything and everyone, and one who lives in it possesses universal ways. Therefore, she can give us everything, and we can recover everything. But, as our daughter, she must also defend the rights of the sovereign queen. She operated in a universal way, and therefore she had a love, a glory, a prayer, a reparation, a sorrow for her Creator, for all and for each creature. She let not one escape her, which creatures owed their Creator. And enclosing all in her maternal heart, she loved all, and each one in a universal way. So in her we found all our glory. She denied nothing to us. She gave us not only that which she was supposed to give us directly, but also that which the other creatures denied to us. And to act as a magnanimous and most loving mother who pours her own self out for her children, she generated everyone
in her sorrowful heart. Each fiber of it was a piercing sorrow in which she gave life to each of her children up to the fatal blow of the death of her son. The sorrow of this death placed the seal of regeneration of life upon the new children of this sorrowful mother. Now, a queen, a virgin queen, who loved us so much, who defended all of our rights, a mother so tender, who had love and sorrows for all, deserves that our little newborn of our supreme will love her for all, requite her for all, and embracing all of her acts in our will, place her act united to hers. Because she is inseparable from us, her glory is ours, and ours is hers, more so since our will places everything in common. On hearing this, I remained a little confused and as though unable to do what Jesus was saying, and I prayed him to give me the ability to do it. And Jesus, resuming his speaking, told me, "My daughter, my will contains everything, and is so jealous, it preserves all of its acts as if they were one alone. So it preserves all the acts of the sovereign queen as if they were all its own, because she did everything in it. Therefore, my will itself will make them present to you." Now you must know that one who has done good to all, who has loved all, and has operated in a universal way for God and for all, has rights over everything and over everyone, and with justice. Operating in a universal way is the divine way, and my celestial mama was able to operate with the ways of her Creator because she possessed the kingdom of our will. Now, having operated in our supreme will, she has the rights of the possessions which she formed in our kingdom. And who else can requite her if not one who lives in the same kingdom? In fact, only in this kingdom is there universal operation, the love that embraces the love that loves everyone, that embraces everything, and from which nothing escapes. But you must know that one who possesses the kingdom of my will on earth has the right to universal glory in heaven, and this in a natural and simple way. My will embraces everything and involves everyone. So from one who possesses it come all goods along with the glory that these goods contain. And while universal glory comes from her, she also receives it. And do you think it is trivial to possess universal glory in the celestial fatherland? Therefore, be attentive. The kingdom of the supreme will is immensely rich. There are coins that spring forth, so everyone expects something from you. And also my mama wants the return for the universal love she had for all generations. And you, in return, are due universal glory in the celestial fatherland, the exclusive inheritance of one who has possessed the kingdom of my will on earth.
June 29th, 1926. Each created thing contains an image of the divine qualities, and the divine will glorifies these qualities in each created thing. After I had gone through most bitter days of privations, when my beloved Jesus came to cheer me, he spent several hours with me. He made himself seen of a very young age, of a rare and rapturing beauty. He sat on my bed near me and told me, "My daughter, I know that you cannot be without me, because I am more than your very life for you. So if I did not come, you would lack the substance of life. Besides, We have so many things to do together in the kingdom of the Supreme Will. Therefore, when you see that I do not come quickly, do not oppress yourself so much. Be sure that I will come, because my coming is necessary for you and for me, because I must see the things of my kingdom, and while directing it, I must enjoy it. How can you have the slightest doubt that in a kingdom so longed for by me, the King of Triumph might be missing? Therefore, come into my arms, that your Jesus may strengthen you. And while saying this, he took me in his arms, he clasped me tightly to his breast, and rocking me, he told me, "Sleep, sleep on my breast, my little newborn of my will." In the arms of Jesus, I was so very little and did not feel like sleeping. I wanted to enjoy Jesus. I wanted to tell him so many things, now that I had the good of his prolonged presence with me. But Jesus continued to rock me, and I, without wanting to, fell into a sweet, sweet sleep. But while sleeping, I could hear the beating of the heart of Jesus speaking. It was saying, "My will." And then another heartbeat, as though answering, "Love, love do I want to infuse in the little daughter of my will." In the heartbeat, "My will," a large circle of light was formed. And in the heartbeat, "Love," another circle, smaller, in such a way that the large one would enclose the small one. While I was sleeping, Jesus would take these circles formed by his heartbeat and would seal them in my whole person. I felt I was being all fortified and strengthened in the arms of Jesus. How happy I felt. But clasping me more tightly to his breast, Jesus woke me up and told me, "My little daughter, let us go around throughout the whole creation in which the Supreme Will contains its life, does its distinct act in each created thing, and, triumphant of itself, magnifies and glorifies all of its supreme qualities in a perfect way. If you look at the sky, your eye cannot see its boundaries. Wherever it looks, there is sky, nor can you tell where it ends or where it begins. This is the image of our Supreme Being, which has no beginning and no end. And in the azure sky, our will praises and glorifies our eternal being, which has no beginning and no end. This sky, studded with stars, is the image of our being. Just as the sky is one, so is the divinity one single act. But in the multiplicity of the stars, our works add extra, which descend from this single act, and the effects and the works of this single act are innumerable. And in the stars, our will magnifies and glorifies the effects of the multiplicity of our works, which include the angels, man, and all created things. See how beautiful it is to live in my will, in the unity of the Supreme Light, and to be aware of the meaning of all created things, and to praise, magnify, glorify the Supreme Creator with his very will in all of our images, which each created thing contains. But move on to look at the sun. Under the vault of the heavens, one can see a limited circumference of light, which contains light and heat, and descending down below, invests all the earth. This is the image of the light and love of the Supreme Maker, who loves everyone and does good to all. From the height of his majesty, he descends down below, deep into the hearts, even into hell. but he does it quietly, without clamor, wherever he is. Oh, how our will glorifies and magnifies our eternal light, our inextinguishable love, and our all-seeingness. Our will murmurs in the sea and in the immensity of the waters, which hide innumerable fish of every species and color. It glorifies our immensity that envelops everything and holds all things as though in the palm of its hand. Our will glorifies the image of our immutability in the firmness of the mountains, the image of our justice in the roaring of the thunder and in the bolt of lightning, the image of our joy in the little bird that sings, trills, and warbles, the image of our moaning love in the turtle dove that moans, the image of the continuous call that we make to man in the lamb that bleats, saying in each bleating, me, me, come to me, come to me. And our will glorifies us in the continuous call we make to the creature. All created things have a symbol of ours, an image of ours, and our will has the commitment to magnify us and glorify us in all our works. Because since the work of creation is work of the supreme fiat, it was befitting for it to preserve our glory, whole and permanent, in all created things. Now, our supreme will wants to give this commitment as inheritance to one who must live in the unity of its light, because it would not be befitting to live in its light and not identify with the acts of the supreme fiat. Therefore, my little daughter, all created things, as well as my will, await you in each created thing to repeat its very acts to glorify and magnify your creator with the very divine will. Now, who can say all the images of our Creator that all creation encloses? If I wanted to say everything, I would never end. So in order not to be too long, I had to say just a few things. And I did it to obey and for fear of displeasing Jesus.
July 1st, 1926. There is no sanctity without the will of God. The coming of Jesus upon earth served to form the ways and the stairs to reach the kingdom of his will. I was doing my usual acts in the supreme volition, and I thought to myself, how is it possible that among the many saints of the Old Testament who have so distinguished themselves with the power of miracles, like a Moses and Elijah and the many prophets, and among so many saints after the coming of our Lord, who have rendered themselves so marvelous because of their virtues and miracles, none of these has possessed the kingdom of the divine will and has lived in the unity of its light? It seems incredible. Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and, clasping me to himself, told me, my daughter, yet it is really true that until now, no one has possessed the kingdom of my will or enjoyed all the fullness of the unity of the light it contains. Had it been so, since it is the thing that interests me the most, that glorifies me the most, and that no less will place all the divine rights in safety and will complete the work of creation and redemption, and not only this, but will bring the creature the greatest good that can exist in heaven and on earth, I would have acted in such a way as to make it known. just as I have made known the many virtues and wonders of my saints, I would have made known the one who had possessed the kingdom of my will, which I hold so dear, so as to transmit it to others by imitating the one who had possessed it. Now the saints of the Old Testament bound themselves in the same condition as Adam. A divine repairer was missing, who, while rejoining the human will and the divine, was to pay the debt of the guilty man in a divine way. However, both the ancient saints and the modern ones have taken of my will as much as they have known. The very miracles they performed were particles of the power of my will communicated to them. So all my saints have lived, some in the shadow of my will, some in the reflections of its light, some submitted to its power, some to the order of its commands, because there is no sanctity without my will. But they have possessed of it the little they have known, no more, because only when a good is known does one then long for it and arrives at possessing it. No one can possess a good, a property, without knowing it. And suppose one did possess it without knowing it, that good is as though dead for him, because the life of knowledge is missing. Now, since my will is the greatest thing, which encompasses everything, and all things from the greatest to the smallest remain dissolved before it, so many things should be known about my will as to surpass what is known about creation, about redemption, about all virtues and all sciences. My will was to be a book for each step, for each act, a book for each created thing. The whole earth was to be filled with volumes of knowledges regarding the kingdom of my will, such as to surpass the number of created things. Now where are these books? There is no book. Only a few sayings are known about it, while it should be at the origin of each knowledge of anything. Being the life of each thing, it should be on everything, like the image of the king impressed on the currency that circulates in a kingdom, like the light of the sun that shines over each plant to give it life, like water that quenches the thirst of burning lips, like food that satiates the hungry man after a long fast. Everything should be filled with the knowledges regarding my will. And if it is not so, it is a sign that the kingdom of my will is not known and therefore not possessed. Would you perhaps be able to tell me which saint said that he possessed this kingdom and the unity of the light of the supreme volition? Certainly not. I myself spoke little about it. Had I wanted to speak extensively about the kingdom of my will and about wanting to form it in man, just as innocent Adam possessed it, since this is the highest point, the most proximal to God and the closest to the divine likeness, and since the fall of Adam was still fresh, they would all have become discouraged and, turning their backs to me, would have said, if innocent Adam could not manage nor had the constancy to live in the sanctity of this kingdom, so much so as to cause his own fall and that of all generations into miseries and passions and irreparable evils, how can we, guilty ones, live in a kingdom so holy? Beautiful, yes, but we can say that it is not for us. Not only this, but since my will is the highest point, the ways, the means of transportation, the stairs, the decent clothes, the appropriate food were needed in order to be able to dwell in this kingdom. So my coming upon earth served to form all this. Even one of my sayings, works, pains, prayers, examples, instituted sacraments, were ways that I formed means of transportation to let them arrive more quickly, stairs to let them ascend. It can be said that I gave them the clothes of my humanity, reddened with my blood, to let them be clothed decently in the kingdom of my will. So holy, which in creation the uncreated wisdom established to give to man as inheritance. So even though I spoke little about this, because when I speak at time and circumstance, as the necessity and the utility of the good which my word contains must be enclosed in it. Instead of speaking, I did the deeds, intending to speak to you about the kingdom of my will. Now, how could they possess it if they did not have full knowledge of it? On the other hand, you must know that all the manifestations I have made to you about it, its prodigies, its goods, what the soul must do to be able to settle in this kingdom, my very expressed will for man to return into my kingdom, and how I have done everything, creation, redemption, so that he might come to possess my kingdom, which he had lost, our bonds of transmission, our doors to let him enter, our donations that I make, our laws, instructions on how to live in it, intelligence to make them comprehend and appreciate the good they possess. If all this was missing, how could they possess this kingdom of my will? It would be as if someone wanted to go to live in another kingdom without a passport, without knowing either its laws or its customs or its dialect. Poor one, his entrance would be impossible, and if he did not enter as an intruder, he would be so ill at ease that he himself would rather go out of a kingdom he knows nothing about. Now, my daughter, does it not seem easier to you, more encouraging, more within the reach of the human nature, that after they have known the kingdom of redemption, in which the blind, the lame, and the sick can be healed, because the blind cannot enter the kingdom of my will, for in it all are straight and glowing with health, finding all possible means in the kingdom of redemption, and the very passport of my passion and death, in order to pass into the kingdom of my will, animated at the sight of such a great good, they will decide to take possession of it. Therefore, be attentive and do not want to constrain or reduce the goods which are in the kingdom of my will. And you do this when you do not manifest everything of what I make known to you, because knowledge is the bearer of the gift. And if now I abound in the knowledge about it, it is gifts that I make. And in these gifts, I establish the more or the less to be placed in the kingdom of my will for the good of those who are to possess it.
All right, stop the recording. We'll be right back.